Last week I stood here and said, there is nothing simple in life. Nothing. And for the next several weeks I have to somehow keep talking about simplicity. Makes me think of the Taoist sage Lao Tzu, who the first chapter of the Tao Te Ching says, the Tao that can be named, or in some translations, the Tao that can be spoken of, is not the true Tao. The last chapter says, true words aren't eloquent. Eloquent words aren't true. And he takes 81 chapters to get from that first thing to the second. So perhaps I'll find something to say. Thinking about the Buddha's first sermon, how simple it was, made me think of two stories. The first is probably apocryphal, but I hope not, because I don't know a preacher who has not at some point dreamed of doing this. We're told that a woman stood in the pulpit one Sunday. She looked out at the congregation she was serving, and she said, I have nothing to say about this topic, and so I will say nothing. And then she sat down for about 10 minutes until the next hymn would have come. As I say, I don't know a single preacher who hasn't wished they could do that at some point. The other story is about Rabbi Hillel, who was a contemporary of Yeshua, Jesus, in first century Palestine. He was of the previous generation, so there are actually some people who think that Rabbi Hillel may have taught or certainly influenced the teachings of Jesus. But there's this story about Hillel. He was a renowned Talmudic scholar, could expound on the Torah with great insight and great wisdom. And the story is that a student came to test him and said, if you are so good, can you explain the Torah, the law, the prophets, can you explain all the teachings while standing on one foot? Well, the people who were around were horrified at this student's impudence, but Hillel smiled, lifted one foot, and said, what is hateful to you, do not do to anyone else. He put his foot down and said, everything else is commentary. What is hateful to you, don't do it. A flip on the traditional do unto others what you would have them do to you. Same idea. If you want somebody to do it to you, do it to them. If you wouldn't want somebody to do it to them, don't do it to anybody else. Somehow the political discourse of recent too many months has made me think that people need to go back to school to get that lesson. If you wouldn't want somebody to do it to you, build a wall, for instance, don't do it to somebody else. It's a pretty simple teaching, isn't it? I would note that Jesus, who may have studied with Hillel, when he was asked essentially to do the same thing, although he could keep both feet on the ground, he said, love God, love your neighbor. That's it. Hillel, though, made it even simpler, because he didn't bring God into the picture. Love one another. Pretty simple. And yet, don't we find it hard to actually do that? Don't we look around at the world in which we live and see that almost nobody does that? So the reason Moses is on the cover of your order of service, and yes, Moses actually did look like Charlton Heston, we know this from archaeological evidence. Some of you may know that Moses went up Mount Sinai twice. actually went up several times, but in terms of the Ten Commandments, he went up twice. He went up, God took his finger, and when this story was written, it was a his finger, and wrote on two stone tablets the Ten Commandments. God herself, himself, itself, wrote those words on the tablets. Moses came down to discover that the Israelites for whom he had just gotten this great revelation had already strayed from the past and were dancing around a golden idol. And he was so furious, he threw them down on the ground, shattering those two tablets on which God had written. But God had wanted him to have two tablets, so he went back up and God said, same rules, you write them this time. And so the tablets that were carried around in the ark were the ones that Moses had chiseled on. But there was a third trip up Mount Sinai having to do with the Ten Commandments that almost nobody knows about because it's contained only in a story in the Mishnah, the rabbis' interpretations and playing with the biblical text. And in this version of the story, before Moses went up, Moses' older sister, Miriam, she went up. And God said, my command for the people is love one another. She came down and said to the Israelites, God has told me, God's command for us is love one another. And they said, oh, come on, that's too simple. So they sent Moses up and he came down with 10 commandments, which people also don't follow. But the idea that this teaching was too simplistic. We need something more complex. Do you have any idea how many trillions of words have been written commenting on the commentaries on what is hateful to you, do not do for someone else? You could spend your life reading every book that had ever been written trying to explain the teachings of the Torah, the law, and the prophets. Never mind the Christian New Testament, just looking at that part. You could spend your life reading commentaries on what Rabbi Hillel said was a commentary. We like complex. We may say we don't. We may say we want the simple answer, but the truth is we don't. Because when we hear the simple answer, we reject it. Because it can't be that simple. We know life's complex because they're those people, you know. It would be so easy if everybody was like me, then yeah, simple is good, but some of you don't think like me. Some of you may not even like me, and somehow the world is more complex because of that. It can't be that simple. Love everybody? No. Yes. Love everybody. In the first congregation I served, the sanctuary, this was the first Universalist church in Yarmouth, Maine, the sanctuary used to have in big letters across the top, God is love. They no longer have that. It was too simple. That's my interpretation. It was up there because that's what our Universalist ancestors taught. God is love. What if that's what everybody taught? Not God is loving, but God is love. Another way of saying it is love, real love, is what that word God is referring back to. It's not feel the love of God as though it's something separate, like feel the hear the thoughts of God. It's that God is love. And so if you have a God, make that God love. If you are devoted to God, be devoted to love. If you want to walk around saying, what would Jesus do? Or what would Muhammad do? Or what would Buddha do? Just make it simple. What would love do? If love was personified, how would love behave in this situation? Whatever that situation is. Love is personified. Each and every one of us is love made flesh. So what would you do in this situation? Whatever that situation is, if you knew and believed and had the courage to act on that belief and that knowledge that love is the answer. We often function at two levels. The level up here where we talk about politics and economics and social anything. That's pretty complex. And over the years, I've developed a strategy for discerning whether or not somebody's proposal to fix something in the system is right or not. My tool is it simple? Because if it's simple, it's wrong. Build a wall, wrong. It's simple, wrong. Bar certain people from coming into the country because some people who are like those people might be violent. Well, it's simple, keep them out. But it's wrong. And if you look at proposals for change of any kind, if the change being proposed is simple, I guarantee you, it'll be wrong. But if we come from that place up here and move down into the place where it really matters, where all things are, well, then if the answer is complex, it's wrong. Because down in that place where we touch one another and touch life and our life, the answer is simple. What you hate, don't do to somebody else. What you wish somebody would do for you, do for somebody else. Make love the heart of your life. What would your life be like if you trusted that? I don't know what mine would be like because I've never done it. There have been moments. Just as I know there have been moments for each one of you. But we can't do it. It's so hard. That's why places like this exist. So that week after week after week, we can come back and hear this simple message. Love. Love wins. Last words go to a Sufi poet, Hafiz. Hafiz and Rumi are very similar styles, and I've been told that whichever one you meet first is the one you think is best. And I had never heard a Rumi poem before I heard Hafiz, and so I think he is the wisest of all Sufi poets. And he said in one of his poems, "The subject tonight is love, and for tomorrow night as well. In fact, I can think of no better thing for us to talk about until we die. The subject this morning is love, and every morning as well." Let's not just talk about it. Let's try to live it. And one way we can live it is being generous with one another. Being generous with places like this that support our remembering and our attempts to live by it. So the ushers will move among us and take the financial offering that supports the work of this place. And if you think this was a cute segue, remember that I said things work on two different levels. So yes, pretty clever. But no, it's all of a piece. When we share our joys and our sorrows, we are being love. When we hear each other's joys and sorrows and hold one another, we are being love. When we volunteer things that are ours so that others might have, we are love. And when we identify ourselves as part of a community like this, we are love.